40th birthday, here's your first kid. Round 2, 3 years later, it's time to leave showbiz. Gets a divorce, now he's single again. Time to start slaying with ladies, cause he's the man. Settles down a couple years later with a dope wife. Soon after, has a revelation, reinvents his life.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, with Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Sam's. Pastor Drew Sams, who is our next guest. Pastor Sams is a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California. He and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village and are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
It's always a pleasure, and I need to do our usual. You know, Richard, you have not got the fanfare yet. I want a fanfare for this. Please, I'm not going to ask again or you're fired. Like I have any choice. I mean, I work for him, not he works for me. Let's just be really clear there. So, how about a health and welfare update on baby Drew, who is, what, 15 months old?
15 months, yeah. In 3 days from now, he'll be exactly 15 months.
Yeah, but who's
counting? We round up all the time, you know. He'll do that. When he's a year and a half, he'll think he's two. And
yes, and then when you get to be my age, you kind of want to round down.
Round down by decades sometimes, you do.
So how's he doing?
Boy, so much fun. I really think he went from crawling to running. He started walking on the day after Mother's Day, and really it's only been, 2 months since then.
And now he's zooming,
he's
huh?
I just can't keep up with him. It's fun. So much fun. My wife says, I got to start working out more to keep up with him. I'm exhausted. It's so much fun. We were up in the mountains this past weekend over the 4th of July, long weekend, and he had a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Excellent, excellent. Did he get frightened by fireworks, or was he just eyes open in wonder?
Well, he's at the stage where he goes to sleep at 6:30.
Okay, okay.
So all I can say is he did not wake up to them.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
His parents enjoyed him.
Were you in Arrowhead?
We were in Big Bear. So
they have the most amazing fireworks up there, I recall.
Oh, over the lake?
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, it's astonishing. I remember the first time I went at least 10 or 12 years ago, and I couldn't believe the quality. Let's hit the topic, because I didn't in the first segment. I had a really fun time with my son and Noah talking about electronic music and their site, electronicsloth.com. But let's talk about the problem some parents face when they have more than one kid, which is that they relate to one better or easier than the other. Is this something you've experienced in your ministry?
Oh, tremendously. You know, so I have not yet to experience this as a father. My wife and I only have one child, but we've
so far.
If we were to have more, I could see how I would have a hard time in some instances not preferring one over the other. And I say that just being honest and kind of just as a human and in my brokenness. I see it all around. I see it in ministry, especially with kids who's, let's say, an older sibling, or it doesn't even have to be an older sibling, but if another sibling maybe does better in school or is a better musician, whatever the reason might be, there always seems to be where one gets hurt, one is disappointed, one maybe sometimes even magnifies the reality that their parents love one more than the other. It might not be really the case at all, but I see so often kids getting hurt because of that.
I call it a dirty parent secret, because most parents don't want to admit that they might like one more than another or feel more comfortable with one more than another, but I think it's a very common reality. The idea of loving one more than another is, at least in my life, that doesn't work. I love them both the same. At different times, I might feel closer to one or another. So the like portion is, if I'm truthful, might be I like one at one time more than the other. And that often is just related to recent behavior. But there's also, I mean, the Bible's full of references to sibling problems. I mean, with the most obvious being Cain and Abel. What stories from the Bible might you bring to bear on this topic?
Yeah, there's so many. And even before I share this one, I want to say it's sometimes, even though it's in the Bible, I have to ask myself, now, is this an observation of broken behavior that maybe God doesn't design or desire for us, even though it's found in Scripture? You know, sometimes we're so quick to say, well, it's in the Bible, so that's what I should do. But there's a lot of humans doing bad stuff in Scripture. So when I share this story, I don't want to justify it in any way. It
okay.
could just be an observation. Though the Cain and Abel is a very interesting one, because God did say, and this is in Genesis 4, that he regarded Abel's sacrifice, and yet he had no regard for Cain's sacrifice. So we know the jealousy that arose from that, and eventually Cain took Abel's life because of that jealousy. But what I wanted to share in Genesis 37, it says that Israel, who had 12 sons, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. And so not only was it an internal love, but he demonstrated that. And he made this ornate robe for him. It was an expression of his love. So all the other brothers, all of Israel's sons saw that. So here we've got, an account of a father, a very important father, and what began the nation of Israel, loving one of his sons more than the others, and then demonstrating that. So what I don't know is that part of our human brokenness? This is beyond like now. This is beyond just appreciated, beyond just, this is my easiest son to raise, but the language there is now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. And I think that it's an observation that we find all around us.
So let's move forward 4,200 years to today, and tell me how you see it in real life today, and what problems you've seen, and maybe what solutions you've offered.
Great question. I find that the question needs to be asked, what is the source of my love for my child? Because if you base the source of your love for your child on what they do, how much they perform, how easy they are to raise, then now it's a very conditional love. And even if you tell that child, I love you because you're such a good student, or I love you because, you're such a great musician, then all of a sudden that child then, their entire focus now shifts to that one factor. And they believe, wow, if I'm not a good student anymore, or if I don't make that school with the music scholarship, now all of a sudden my parents not going to love me anymore.
Wow.
And
I
think
thought of it that way.
And we get a great example in how God loves his people, the nation of Israel. We find in Deuteronomy, it says, and I love this, one of my favorite sections of Scripture, God says, do you know why I love you, O Israel? It's not because you're greater than the other nations. It's not because you're larger. But I simply love you because I love you. Which sounds very circular. Because he says, I love you. And you might ask, well, why does God love you? Because I love you. Yeah, but why? What's the fact? What do we have to do to maintain that love or to keep that love? No, I love you because I love you. And I think that parents need to have that type of love for their kids, that they love them simply because they love them. And even if they ask why, that it wouldn't be a factor, but they would say, because I love you, because I'm your parent, you're my child, and I'll always love you no matter what you do, no matter what you achieve or not achieve, I'll always love you. Then like and appreciate and all those things kind of fall under that. But I think the source of our love has to be way much more than what they do.
That is very valuable. And I will leave that as the takeaway for our segment today. 15 months, that means you're 3 months behind on your blog.
Yes, I am. I appreciate your love for me.
Just for listeners that don't know, Pastor Drew has promised to do a blog with videos and photos of the first year, the first 12 months of Judah Andrews' life, and he's 3 months late. Not that it needed to be done immediately, so I'm exaggerating that. But how's the progress coming on that?
Well, it's stalled since the last time we talked, but every time I hear it from you, it reminds me not only that I need to, but really how much I want to, because I agree with you how valuable that's going to be, not only for me and my wife, but also for him as he grows up.
All right. You find Pastor Drew at?
Surfer Drew on all the social networks.
Excellent. Thank you, Pastor Drew. It's been a pleasure. We'll talk with you next week.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for Dr. Jennifer Weberman and some therapy talk.
And a Twitter too. Hashtag Dadshake. Check that bit out, fool. Instagram and Facebook, dude. Yo, peace out. He's one hit fool. Yo, happy Father's Day, Dad. I know you don't like rap, but hope you like this one. I mean, I think it's rad. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.